again, you're listening to the news at one. As many as 10,000 people are missing following major floods in Libya, according to officials from the International Federation of the Red Cross and the Red Crescent Societies this lunchtime. Widespread flooding and mudslides caused by torrential rain have destroyed roads and homes, with the eastern port city of Derna one of the worst affected areas. Aid agencies are warning that Libya now faces a large-scale humanitarian disaster. A short time ago, we spoke to Malek Altab, a Libyan environmentalist who's based in Paris and has been assessing the scale of the catastrophe facing her country.
The situation is quite horrific. The storm Daniel found its way from Greece down to Libya over the past weekend. It severely hit the eastern part of Libya on Sunday afternoon. In the eastern part, since, let's say, Friday, on satellite imagery, the storm has been beginning to appear to reach the eastern part of the country. But unfortunately, there hasn't been any sort of mitigation or any awareness campaigns or initiatives in the last few days, given that it hit Greece last week on Tuesday. When it hit the eastern part, starting from Benghazi and then along the eastern coast, severely affecting, as you can see in the reports and news, the city of Derna, which is now marked as a disaster zone. What we can see actually now, with the lack of international aid, Libyans' local initiatives from the western part of the country and also in the east are working together to tackle this issue, but the area is considered a disaster zone. It's not easy to access many parts of the city, given that some leading streets were washed away due to the flooding.
And I mean, the situation in Derna has been compounded by the fact, and we're hearing these reports, that the two dams collapsed. So massive amounts of water flooding into the city, mudslides, huge scale of destruction.
Since Saturday night, people started on social media to film the water that's coming from the destroyed dams due to the storm, and it started to accumulate more and more, given the high quantities of water that entered different parts of the city, and that's why it led to the city to be completely drawn underwater while people are stranded in their houses.
One official so far is putting the death toll at 2,000, but that's almost certain to rise, and to rise significantly.
Definitely. Due to the severity of the situation, we cannot say that the numbers are accurate. They are still trying locally, from local initiatives, NGOs, volunteers. They're trying to help as many as they can. But the death toll, unfortunately, is increasing by the hour. The situation is quite horrendous, and people are still trying to find people who disappeared and families.
To save the loss of further life, to bring aid to those who've been made homeless by this, is some sort of international relief operation going to be needed?
Definitely. I mean, one of the issues that I believe is making this disaster, or the after effect of this disaster, more severe, is that the international, let's say, responsibility or aid hasn't been announced by many countries. Yes, many countries late during the ongoing storm announced that they are supporting the Libyan government, but now we're not seeing any of the international institutions or international stakeholders taking an active role in providing aid, and this is the main issue. There's a lack of resources from the Libyan part, and there's a lack of training, awareness, and so on, and international aid, I believe, is a must, and it's a necessity regardless of the political situation of the country.
Your particular area of interest is environmental policy, the impact of climate change. Countries around the Mediterranean, how vulnerable are they to these kind of, or will they be, to these kind of extreme weather events?
Unfortunately, countries in North Africa, and due to the impact of natural disasters that we can see, whether, let's say, from an earthquake that happened in Morocco, and also the storm Daniel that severely hit Libya, and it's taking its way to Egypt as well, we can see that countries in the northern coast, in North Africa, are not ready. They don't have the readiness. And we can see the high level of vulnerability. It's not just a basic status of vulnerability. It's actually a severe vulnerability to the impacts of climate change, especially sea level rise, the increase in temperature, fluctuation in seasons, extreme weather events, which is something quite abnormal for a region like in North Africa.